Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM 360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM 360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM 360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invite you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Assalamu alaikum, and welcome to another edition of Critical Issues, where we look at the issues of today that affects our varied lives, and we look at solutions to these issues that we look at. We've been talking for the past week on a subject of the purpose of humanity. And we kind of started off a little bit last week with that subject there, which is such a broad, it's almost as far as mankind and the human being, is almost a universal subject. It's so many areas of humanity that can be looked at. And we're going to continue that to try to bring a picture and what we hope to get out of these discussion here on humanity is that we hope it opens up our mind to give us something to think, to we should be seeing even more than what we're discussing here on the program because it's such a broad subject. And that's the reason we invite our listening audience to participate in these discussions, because we know no one human being Allah has blessed, our Creator has blessed with all of the answers. But when we come together as a humanity, as a human being, even we can break it down as a family, as a community, when we come together, then things will begin to happen on levels that even the individual cannot necessarily proceed. So we bring these subjects to you hoping that we can inspire and enlighten you in there. We'll start off this morning with a dua to say, oh Allah, bless us to have a inspiring talk on this subject. Help us to open up the minds and the hearts of the human being, all in essence to be able to find out how do we serve our Creator better in the actions and all that we do with each other. Amen. All right. So we're going to kind of get into this subject that we're talking about, that purpose of humanity. And I guess as we go along, because like we say, it's such a broad subject there. It's so many areas that we can hit. As they say, there's high points and low points and middle points and east points and west points. There's so many areas that we can go when we start talking about the humanity. And we introduced this subject last week by saying that, you know, scientists and have studied animals and plants and all, and they've spent a lifetime and lifetime. But I don't believe, even though we have studied the human being, that it has been given the publicity, I guess you could say, or shared the knowledge as much with humanity or other human beings as we do with animal life and plant life and all. Therefore, we find out that the human being is lacking in understanding not only his whole self or her whole self, even the physical. You know, most of our problems today is because we do not know not only our purpose, but we do not know what we are here for, what makes us up, even in to the state that food that we eat, that we eat food and all that doesn't necessarily agree. And these are broad areas that I'm talking about, but these are all the areas that has to be covered to get a full picture of what is the purpose of humanity. And as we say, as we get down in this subject, we want to see what is our purpose as a human being in here, and that's what it should always come back to you and me. But we have to look at it on a broader scale so we can see what is our purpose as being one humanity in here. So we're going to continue this this subject here and pray Allah that we get something out of it. In here. Now, when we look at the human being, as we say, there's different levels, again, that we have to address. When we look at and we talk about human being, we know that even in the word human being, there's the word hue, man, and being. And when it's looked into, we find out that that's three different entities in describing the human being. We have the hue, which we can talk about the human being on a physical level, and we can look at the breakdown which man, science have done over the centuries and generations. Because now, you know, we have medical science and all that can look at the human being from the head to the toe. And there's specialists that understand the human being on a physical level. Although you will never stop learning about the human being on a physical level. So scientists in the medical field is always trying to find a better way in which to serve that human being physical needs as far as the medical. Now, I think we still have a long way to go there because we will cure one area, but we find out that we may harm another area. And we don't put all of the information, in my opinion, don't put all of the information out there that will benefit. We try to treat the symptoms, and I don't know if is this an economic thing or what, but, you know, we find from time to time that those that's in those fields there sometimes sell themselves more to economic than they do to making or bringing about a cure for the human being. And then there's on the rational level, on the thinking level, and we see that we have in this country high institutions that make these people on the thinking level, and whereas if you're going to be a medical doctor, something, you got to get to the high level. That's that rational level. And then from that rational level, we find out that the human being also has what is called or referred to a lot as a spiritual level. And when we look at the spiritual level, then we see that there's a whole nother level that has to be explored when it comes to humanity and looking at the human being. So we do have three areas that make up the human being. And I think this is sometimes where maybe some people have gotten off in trying to understand the whole of the human being into that three-in-one kind of concept there that we sometimes make a mistake and give to our creator there. But we are talking about the human makeup and what we should be about here. So we will open up our lines here because we do want you to engage in on this conversation, and so we can understand our purpose as a humanity, as a human being. And when we say human being, of course, in this sense, we're talking about both the male and the female because we know both are human beings. And when we look at male and female in this sense, we look at them as not one being over the other, but we're looking at us as a greater, not just the physical. We're looking at the rational and the spiritual area also there. So we do invite you to join us in this conversation here. And we're going to take our first PSA here, and we will be right back in just a moment.
God's peace be upon you. This is Muhammad Sharif. As we know, everything begins with the seed. Rain International is world leader in seed nutrition and the first to market seed-based products. Our flagship product is called Soul, S-O-U-L. The main ingredient is black cumin seed. Here are a few reasons to drink Soul. Support the healthy immune system. Give a body the boost to stay healthy and strong. Improve indigestion. Decrease infection. Remove inflammation and other benefits. This is an opportunity to improve your health and increase your wealth. Please call or text me at 914-434-375. Please join me in supporting CWSC, the Community-Wide Cereal Conference and AM360, in remaking the world into a better place. We support the 50-year human family planning and look forward to doing business with you. Our website is raininternational.com. We are available at any time. Please call this number, 914-434-3275. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, we're back with Critical Issues, where we are talking about the purpose of humanity. Why were we created? You know, these are questions that we should ask to do. One of the problems I think that the society has gotten to, especially for the majority of a human being, or the, what they call the masses, or the common masses, is that we are not thinking like we should be thinking as a human being. You know, we grow up in a community or neighborhood, and I was surprised to see how many people that grow up in a neighborhood or community, and believe it or not, never leave in their whole entire life that neighborhood or community. Never get an opportunity to explore even the larger community or the country or the world to really get to be able to think on that level there. So our thinking has to be improved. Our what I call common sense has to be improved. So when we look at things, we look at it through a very small vision there, and that makes it, I guess I would say the vision is so small that we can only see it based on a neighborhood, a community, a small community, or even a nation. Our vision should be bigger than a nation. We as human beings, and overall, we are doing this because we see now that even the world is becoming smaller when it comes to, and that doesn't mean physical. When we say the world is becoming smaller or the earth is becoming smaller, it's because we have expanded our minds and our action to now that what it used to take months and maybe years to explore on the other side of the earth, now it only take a day or less than a day. Sometime we can see it as it's happening. So this is what I mean by expanding our mind, and we have to do that. So we do invite you to press 1 on your phone and give us some thought on this conversation we're having about the purpose of the human being. So if you have a comment or a question, do press 1. Okay, I see we don't have any takers right now at this moment, so we will continue here. I have to bring an area because it is such a large area of what we should be doing, but we have to kind of break it down to the different areas. And, you know, when I think about it and we look at it and we take our community, when we say our community, we're talking about a community that follow the leadership of Imam W.D. Muhammad. And we know we went through, as some say, a metamorphosis and all as a community because we went through one philosophy area of thinking, and we evolved into a what I refer to as a higher level of thinking. And Imam Muhammad addressed with us issues and did some things that even in this day and time, I don't know if we fully understand understood what he was doing. Some of the things was that happened that I see, and I'll just bring it out, is that when he gave the autonomy of each masjid as being individual autonomy, I think a lot of us took that as being like a separation, that where we used to kind of work with each other as a community on different projects or different efforts, it kind of, because we thought, okay, I'm on my own, I can do my own thing, as that I shouldn't work, I don't have to work with the community down the street or in the state or in the region. I think we had at one time, they had region or even nationally or internationally. All of us did not fall victim to this, but I think a lot of us did. To now, we just have our individual communities, and because we don't have the type of interaction with each other, then the little small communities that we have, even if you got 100 or 1,000 people or 5,000 or 10,000 people in your community, it's not large enough to bring about the, if we want to talk about economics, the economic forces that is needed to be done in, as we say, the Muslim community. And then with the even the smaller centers and all that may have 100 or 200 people, that it's even worse there because we cannot establish ourselves economically in that area. This is all dealing with what is the purpose of humanity. But these are different areas because we got to be able to see our purpose in them. And I see we do have a caller with the hand raised, and I'm going to bring you in so you can ask your question or make a comment. All right, this is area code 321-917. Welcome to the program, and state your name and where you're calling from.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Brother Henry DeLacy from Melbourne, Florida. Listening to your comments about being human, et cetera, and then moving to that topic of the loss of our community spirit, you know, I plan to do a program on the loss of empathy and how to restore that. And I'm still intending to do that program on Saturday. My program 9:30 in the morning, but I wanted to mention it in connection with what you were talking about in terms of the being human and the meaning of that, you know, and the purpose, et cetera. I was observing how in this society and its trending is, as you mentioned, individualism. And, you know, I think that's hurting us tremendously, that we don't seem to enjoy the company of the Muslims. Like, you know, if you would think back in the earlier times, we couldn't wait to get together to have dinner, have social events, just be at the mosque or temple. Did even during earlier times, we used to love to communicate, to commune together, and now we you know, I see as soon as the prayer is over, we getting out of there, heading somewhere. And a lot of times, if you stop and ask the person where you going, oh, I'm just heading back to the house. You know, they're really not going to do anything. So there's no strategy involved in our common thinking about being together, spending time to take a look at how to improve the human life that's on this planet. So. There's so much I guess you heard about the imam being assassinated in New Jersey. May Allah forgive him, give him paradise.
I was hearing about it as you was making your comments here. Imam Hassan Sharif was killed in New Jersey at the masjid there. I would like to just pause for just a moment to say a prayer for him and his family there. And we hope the believers in the areas, overcome and that, and we pray his family do that. It's so much violence that's going on, and I think it's, again, it comes back to this subject that we're talking about, because it's not brought down on the individual level that we see our responsibilities, and we know we got what I call crazy people, and that don't mean they're insane there, but we got people that's got a lot of wild ideas, and they take these ideas and they express them, in my opinion, the wrong way. But at this time, let's say make a word of silence for maybe the next 10 seconds here on our brother Hassan Sharif. Amen. All right. Go right ahead.
I wanted to mention that in the relations to the topic. You know that when you were talking about how we have looked at the autonomy as in the wrong light. And I think we got to revive that spirit. You know, the prophet, peace be upon him, he mentioned in the hadith that you will never enter paradise until you believe, and you will never believe until you practice loving oneself. Shall I show you how to spread love, spread peace. Be mindful of creating environments where peace can reign. So the love for one another, I believe this idea and I'm almost certain of it, but this idea of this electronic era we are going through, where we text message everyone, we don't hardly talk to anybody anymore. Fortunately, you can't text message me because I can't read the text. I can't see that text on there. I have to communicate. But I'm thankful to Allah that I have to, in a sense, communicate, because now everything's coming text messages. I was looking at a program on a psychiatrist was talking about empathy, and she pointed to just above the ear, and an inch above the ear in the brain area. She said that is a center where empathy is expressed, and they have apologizing with a text message. Oh, I'm sorry I did that, on the phone even. I'm sorry I did that. And they say that in that area, there's no activity. They have the person wired up looking at the brain activity when they are apologizing or expressing empathy. She was talking about empathy. And there's no activity. But when that same situation is given in person, they say, oh, the brain just lights up. It's just plenty of activity there. When you have to face someone and apologize sincerely, apologize for your bad behavior or whatever you did that may have been inappropriate. And, you know, and I thought about how the prophet, he said, you have 3 days to before you can be angry with your brother or sister, et cetera, then the best of you is the one who remedied that, who solved that disagreement.
Mm-hmm.
have an obligation to be more communal, to be together. And that's something the Imam pointed out to us, that our life is fulfilled in community. It's not fulfilled individually. And if we are looking at our own individual needs and not being more conscious of the needs of others, and et cetera, which will best take place in a community environment, we're going to have this loss of empathy, where the society become cold and callous. As we look at this carnage in Gaza, you know, it's just mm-hmm. not normal for somebody to be able to turn their head away from such horrible circumstances and then just blame it on Hamas, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, it's just crazy. We're in a crazy era where the human sentiments are going in the spirit to love one another, to be concerned, to be, and to just even be in the company of the believers. You know, what is the better? Allah says, and they bow down with those who bow down. We are believers. We have to be in the company of each other. And then that gives a strong picture to any person or anyone who has a opposition or wants to harm us or wants to hurt us. When they see we have unity, that won't be such an easy task. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yes. Well, we appreciate those comments there. But like I said, this is such a big subject that we hope to inspire people to thinking, because there's so many areas, and economics is one of them that we suffer from a lot right now. And I just think when it comes to, when we bring it home to the Muslim community, and even when we bring it further to the Muslims who follow the leadership or students of Imam W.D. Muhammad, I always felt that should be the leaders in this, field. But it seems that some kind of way we got off of the road. We've lost the direction. And this is not all of us, but I'm talking about as a community. Well, the things that was given to us, like we talking about this autonomy of a community, and Imam Muhammad addressed these issues in the book that by Mubashir Ukta, in book number 5 of Applying the Teachings of Imam W.D. Muhammad, where he talks about the autonomy, and he gives the clear, it shouldn't separate us, where we make me think, oh, I don't have to cooperate with them anymore. I don't have to do this. I can do my own thing. That was not the purpose of it. That is not the purpose that God created humanity. And the Quran addresses it. It says that he made us tribes and nations, not that we would despise each other, but that we would get to know each other. And it seems as though the ones who should be the leaders of this cause, promoting this cause, is suffering from this disease more than the people that they should be leading. And that's what I'm saying. I'm hoping I'm putting that in a way. And it's not meant to tear down anything, but it's a problem. And when we have problems, we have to address these issues. We can't get so successful as we see on this little small scale that we think that, hey, maybe if I got more members than you in my masjid, I got a better masjid than you, and I don't need you, and maybe you think you don't need me, and we just all scattered out here. And this is one of the things that I'm seeing now that's happening in the environment when we come back to the Muslim community is because of our division, and we don't have the power to show the strength that we have because of being disunified, then people take us for granted. They're able to do things to offend us, and we're not in a position to even address these offenses that's happening here. We do have another caller in the queue, so we're going to bring him in. I believe it's our brother, Mark Shaheed. As-salamu alaykum, brother Mark. Recognize your number.
As-salamu alaykum to you, Brother Henry Hasib, and to Imam DeLacy Umar, and to your very astute radio listening audience there at AM 360 Radio. I want to say alhamdulillah that the praise and the thanks belongs to Allah first and foremost. This is an interesting topic when you speak about purpose. I heard Imam W.D. Muhammad teach on purpose, and he said, you have to live life purpose. What was he saying? Because in living life on purpose, meaning that it has a value. It has a value to it. No purpose, no value. Very, very important. And I appreciate what Imam DeLacy Umar has said in terms of empathy. That's not a word that you hear all the time. But in the social dynamic of human beings, this is a bond, a connectedness that Almighty God, Allah, wants us to have. You have a sore dealing with neighborly needs. Let's think about this. All of us live in a neighborhood, you see, and you live in your individual houses or homes, but you're part of a neighborhood. Now, we have here, and I'm quite sure you have there in Alabama, and also where Imam DeLacy Umar lives, you have communities that have come together and have organized Neighborhood Watch to protect what? The neighborhood, you see, because you're part of that. And so understanding the Quran and the application of that, you are to be sensitized. You are to have empathy for your neighbor. I have good relations with my neighbors. As a matter of fact, the neighbor just next to me, you know, we look out for each other. She said, Brother Shaheed, let me know if you need something, or I'm going to be gone for a while, a package come. And the same thing for her in that regard, to have that communication. You're absolutely right. We have to understand the scheme of the shaitan, which is to take the communication away, to take away the empathy that Imam DeLacy Umar was actually speaking about. When we understand each other, when we have feelings for each other. So this Texan has desensitized. Please note, the Texan has desensitized the natural human feelings that we would have for each other. This is, you know, I'm like DeLacy Umar. You can't text me because I can't read text, and I don't text anymore. And I don't apologize for that. Texting was meant for that, whereas nobody has time to talk to each other, to communicate to each other. You can't experience the human sentiments and sensitivity in a text. As a matter of fact, they even abbreviate that, you see. So Allah is telling us in neighborly needs that there's an obligation and there's a responsibility not only for Muslim but for believers. And we see they're good Christians. You see, are good neighbors. And some of us have experienced these things. So Imam Muhammad was not saying in the autonomy that you're not connected. Matter of fact, you know, in the first experience, we said we was followers of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. He changed that, you see, because Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's our leader. He's our leader, and he's the example in terms of how he was empathetic to his neighbors and neighborly needs and all this and others. You see, it doesn't mean that because you're responsible for yourself and for your family, but you're always a part of a neighborhood, and neighborhoods are part of a community. And guess what? You know, in terms of Imam Hassan Sharif, that touched me. It hurt me, you know, in that regard. We can't be divorced from each other. This is a time where we have to be galvanized as a community. And we need to have more productions, shows just like what you have. What you have today, Brother Henry Hasib. You know, so I applaud you in understanding the purpose, because in the purpose, more is accomplished in community life. Matter of fact, I'll stop with this. Imam Muhammad said the bigger the purpose, the bigger the interest. The bigger the interest, the bigger the energy. And then he said the bigger the energy, the bigger the product, or bigger the produce, or the bigger the productivity. You see, in making the land of plenty, the productivity, the activity, and the product is based on purpose. And Allah has stated in the Quran the collective purpose. And that collective purpose is in 51-56 of the Quran. Allah says, I have not created the jinn nor the ants. The ants is the human creation before the socialization of it, except for my worship, except for my service, or as Imam Muhammad said, except for my purpose. And so even Allah says that he turns us to, he turns everyone to an individual goal. But that goal is to serve Allah, and serving Allah, Allah is independent of everything. So what does that mean? That means you're going to be serving another human being. So we ought to love for our brother what we love for ourselves. Imam Muhammad said, I never told you abandon the good teachings of my father to keep those good teachings, you see. So we need to have more productions such as this to have that conversation, to give a clear explanation in terms of what it is that we have as a responsibility. And the purpose is to establish an ethical and just human society for all human beings. I could say more, but I think I said enough. Just look at your neighborhood, what you, everyone is a part of. And if you're just going to live by yourself and say, I'm not going to be concerned about anything, you got crime in your neighborhood, and it doesn't bother you, it doesn't disturb you that your neighbor's house got broken in, or something happened to your neighbor, and only it's going to bother you when trouble knocks at your door. Think about that. I'll stop there. Thank you. As-salamu alaykum.
As-salamu alaykum, and I appreciate those comments. And what we have to realize is that that if we don't, soon as you use the example of crime, and I think Imam Muhammad gave us a thing. He says at one talk to go back and work with your neighbor, as you said, Mark, to work with your neighbor. Then and your neighbor is not just next door. Work with the neighborhood, you know, and you'll be surprised. It doesn't just have to be an all-Muslim neighborhood in order for you to work with your neighbor. We are human beings, and that's what God created
was the human being. Now, we know why we got all of the differences and all, but that our differences was to make us know each other. So we should begin to learn each other, and when we learn each other more, you'll be surprised of the principles that will come out of that, that others maybe who say that they have other faiths outside of Islam, they'll tell the world, you know, I really have great respect for Henry Hasid. And Henry Hasid would be saying, I have great respect for that person. You know what I'm saying? And that's what it's all about. But if we all calling ourselves just, hey, I'm a Muslim, but we have no respect for each other, then what have we accomplished there? So that was a great comment. I want to bring in our next caller, and then we're going to take a break here before we bring in you, caller, I do see you. Let me take this pause for the calls, and we'll be right back.
Since 1989, Saturna Capital has focused on the importance of sustainable business management.
Originally, Saturna began faith-based investing to meet client needs. They needed a financial product that wouldn't produce interest.
We thought that why can't we have something which is nationwide and people can, you know, pull their money in. And that's where I start exploring the idea of a mutual fund.
A mutual fund, incidentally, is a very Islamic concept. It's everybody puts your money in and you share in the results. So that's a very fair, very Islamic way to invest.
Biggest accomplishment I can think of and thankful to God will be that we are helping people to do the right things.
Founded on principles of integrity to clients and a commitment to low fees, over its 30 years of growth, Saturna has broadened its successful approach to faith-based investing to include a focus on sustainable metrics.
We think that the kind of rules that Islamic investing, social responsible investing, are really very close to the same thing.
We view investing as a business partnership. We're seeking to identify companies with whom we can partner, feel good about the way that they manage their business, the way they approach diversity amongst their executive suite and within their board of directors, the way they treat their employees, their communities, the environment.
To set an example, Saturna is eager to showcase how we practice ESG at home, focusing on employee wellness, community engagement, and environmental initiatives.
We translate these things every day from promoting philanthropy within our community and within our organization to establishing groundbreaking products that people have never seen before.
Saturna Capital is dedicated to industry leadership in values-based global investing.
Okay, we are back here. And I know we're still working on our credit union here, and those are some positive areas that we do need to do and need to get some updates to on some of the progress to see how we can help bring that into a reality. All right, we are back, and we're going to bring in our caller at area code 706-627. Welcome to the program. State your name, where you're calling from.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Brother Muhammad from the Ummah of Prophet Muhammad by the way of Columbus, Georgia. And we thank Allah for your service this morning. And just all the commercial you just gave and the topic of credit unions and saying that we'd be surprised at those financial desires that we are attracted to establish, because they are real, comes when we establish a community of people, a legal community of people who have established zakat. And that will purify all of our efforts to stay away from innovative things that support a false reality, artificial life, artificial expression, artificial fun, and we're financing it with our faith. That's why it's so hard for us to keep the type of faith in our heart that echoes the Quran that's in our heart, because we need to take another look. Are we committing this innovation? Call me and wish me Happy New Year, a Muslim, knowing our new year is in starting this year in June. But it's still, we have fallen victim because of our human
creation have worshiped or are beginning to worship humanity in it and what it comes to without Shura. It's just a bunch of emotional, intellectual talk that gets us involved in innovative worship. Innovation reason to have money when money is supposed to be spent in the way of Allah, called Al-Islam. And it's spent in a way that established a path toward true humanity, which is one soul. We remember that humanity means one soul. It doesn't mean or one mind, you know, one earthly mind, if we want to break it down to its basic concept or definition. And we are had to be vital to this innovation, because this innovation is what's keeping us divided. Until we be for real and follow the basic pillars of Al-Islam, Allah will reward us with the articles of faith and let us have them, because we are made ourselves worthy to do that and turn our money, turn our dressing. We turn everything into what Allah has prescribed for us to do to make it a worship. If it doesn't lead to worship, if it leads to going down the path that of innovation, and we know where it leads to fornication for one thing, because we got to engage with a relationship with people who are against or ideas that are against Al-Islam. And we think, why would I want to have a neighbor who I have no control whether or not I know he drinks? And then I wake up one morning, I hear his wife out there crying. He's beat the hell out of her on the porch because he's drunk. And he's living next door to me. And I'm obligated by creation to try to stop him, because I know he's a Muslim, but he's not a Muslim who is involved in halal. He's living the life of innovation. So I think we need to slow down and look behind us to see if we are really following the right Qibla. Are we establishing the right Qibla? Are we establishing Al-Islam? Are we establishing innovative ideas and making it split the mind of the believers? It gives you a psychological thing where you're trying to live in one world, two worlds, three worlds, even though Allah is in every world we come up with, reminding us to get back to Al-Islam. This day I gave you a favor to solve all of your du'as that you've been making. And y'all rejecting it. You're going away from it. You're deviating from it. And you're still forgetting that what you do, when you do that, you're heading back to the influence of your enemy, the shaitan, and the people he have underneath his influence. How are you going to free the oppressed if you are with them? You in the belly of the beast with them. So, inshallah, we have to, I think at this time in our development, we have to really look and see, what are we innovating that has nothing to do with the way Allah has given us in the life of Prophet Muhammad, the only human example of how to follow the guidance of the Quran and worship one God, Allah. And that's what the world is waiting on us to get back to teaching, yes, and establishing the five pillars, so that it can see the articles of faith enter into our deeds and actions, and we have schools where you can make prayer at, where you have hospitals where everybody is in wudu, you know, you have businesses where the business whole purpose is to make money to establish a halal a reality for people to seek refuge to. And then we explain them what halal means. Halal means something that only the creator of all of us permits. It doesn't permit these human artificial concepts of what is right and wrong. You know, just because everybody vote for humanitarian, emotional, psychological reasons, we supposed to go along with it. And we become addicted to it. We have become addicted to fornication, and we think that it's a physical expression, but we really, I'm talking about the Muslims, we have kings, man. If that's not adultery, that's a serious form of adultery for someone who say they follow the Quran, that you want to be Pharaoh. Appreciate that.
Yeah. I was going to say these issues do have to be addressed. I don't know if I have enough time before we go off the air today, but I wanted to, out of this book, I'm sure many of you have it, called Book 5, Applying the Teaching of Imam W. Dean Muhammad. We got what we need. We got what we need, Brother Muhammad, to solve the problems that we're talking about. So we ain't, the solutions we already got, they just got to be applied. See, it's just like, as we say, a prescription. If you don't take the prescriptions, I don't care how much medicine you got. If you don't take the prescription, it's not going to do you any good. So we got to just start taking the prescription that we got. We got the solution, no doubt. Think nobody would argue with us as to whether we got it. We need to take the prescription. And some of it may be a little painful, but we got to take it. And if we do, I believe Allah will bless us to come out with that leadership that I was talking about.
Right.
Not just the Muslim, I'm talking about to be able to lead the world, not to say, hey, I'm the president of this organization, just that type of leadership, but the leadership to show that, hey, the principles that we stand on leads the world. So I appreciate those comments. We're going to try to get one more caller in here before we do leave the air, and I appreciate those comments there.
I said I want to.
Okay, this is, I believe, Brother Mark Shaheed again. As-salamu alaykum,
yes.
Brother Mark.
Alaykum as-salam. I know you're up against the wall in terms of time, but we don't want to overlook the Quran, which you came from in Surah 49, Ayah 13, in terms of why Allah made us different in terms of nations and tribes, so we may get to know each other, and then after we get to know each other and get to work with each other, then we benefit, all of us benefit. Mm-hmm. You know, as a wordologist, I often teach about the word selfish, and you spell selfish in your mind. When you're selfish, you sink extra low, and you find individual success hard. You sink extra low, and you find individual success hard. When we come from birth to earth, we come right into a family. You don't come here all by yourself. You come into a family. And so this is what we have to get back to. It's like in the Nation of Islam, we saw each other as family,
mm-hmm.
As community should be seen as family. I just wanted to say that. And so when we think about that, then that means that our greatest production and productivity will be realized in community life. Thank you so much. This is an excellent production, and it's something that can go on and on and on because we really need this information. May Allah bless us all. As-salamu alaykum.
As-salamu alaykum. And I just want to close with this little reading from the book. Like I said, we got all of the solutions in it, and thank Allah that Imam Muhammad left enough for us to go. But one thing, and that's going to open up another subject, but just being objective, when I think about the halal business that Imam Muhammad was working on, and most of you remember that, that we had there, all of these years later, we have not made any progress, and this don't be negative, because there are brothers that I know that have now started some halal farms and growing chicken and some growing beef and stuff, but the support for it has not grown even to the level that we had with Imam Muhammad back then, and which was pathetic. And I don't want to get off on that right now. We'll take that for another day. But I'm just trying to show us we got to do better than what we're doing if we are going to be in this race to all that is good there. But let me just close with this. It's under the title, Does Autonomy Forbid Unity? Now, some people think that because the imam decentralized the community and informed us that the local masjids are autonomy entities, that it somehow somehow wrong or inappropriate for us to meet and work together and make agreements and hold each other accountable to anything at a level beyond the local level. The idea of unity is no longer in their vocabulary. It is as if the concept of unity is taboo. Do you really think that that the Imam support for a autonomy decentralized model of masjid structure was intended to discourage and reduce cooperation and unity among us? Do we really think he intended for autonomy to desensitize us to the difficulties and problems of our brothers and sisters in a different part of the country? Do we think that by trying to keep us away from our enemy, he intended to keep us away from each other? Leave that thought for you to think about as we go. Now we are out of time, so we'll get ready for our next program, Brother Adam Bier. Assalamu alaikum.
This is Isaiah Abdushakur, now with the Islam's beliefs universal. Allah is the creator with no partners. Muslims have 99 popular attributes for Allah. What is Al-Islam? Al-Islam is the complete way of life that reflects submission to the will of God. Islam means submission, derived from the Arabic word meaning peace. Who is a Muslim? A Muslim is anyone who submits to the will of God. Everyone is born Muslim, and their environment makes them otherwise. How does one become a conscious Muslim? To become Muslim is to make a public declaration that there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is the messenger of God. This is called the Shahadatain. Who is Muhammad? Muhammad the Prophet was born in Mecca, the holiest city to Islam in Arabia, in the year 570 or in the 6th century. How many Muslims are there? Worldwide, there are just over 1 billion Muslims, or 1 out of every 5 people on earth is a Muslim. In the United States, there are approximately 8 million Muslims. 2.5 million are recognized as indigenous, with the remainder by the way of immigration. Aren't all Muslims Arabs? No. Most Muslims live east of Karachi. 30% of Muslims live in the Indian subcontinent, 20% in sub-Sahara Africa, 17% in Southeast Asia, 18% in the Arab world, 10% in the states of the former Soviet Union or Russia. There is a significant Muslim population in China, Latin America, and Australia. Aren't all Arabs Muslim? No.
Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. This is Imam Adam Biyar here on Monday, Sensoran 360 on this Thursday morning. I want to welcome all of you to the program today. And really enjoyed the previous program. As a matter of fact, Brother Henry hit some of the points that we're going to probably talk about today. But I think he posed an excellent question on what was the Imam Muhammad's intentions for us as a community. But we'll get into that in a minute. I wanted to open up today's program reading from the Quran, if I could. And this is from Surah Ali Imran, the third surah, the 185th ayat. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Kullu nafsin dha'iqatu maut. Wa inama tu wa fauna ujurakum yawma kiyama wa man zukziha anil nari wa udkila janata wa kad fas wa ma hayatu dunya illa mata'u gurur. Sadakullahu Azim. In the translation that's given by Abdul Yusuf Ali, every soul shall have, with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, every soul shall have a taste of death. And only on the day of judgment shall you be paid your full recompense. Only he who is saved, far from the fire, and admitted to the God will ever attain the object of life. For the life of this world is but goods and channels of deception. Sadaqa Allahu Azim, Allah speaks the truth, and surely Allah's words are true. As I normally do, there are a couple of things that run across my desk or run across my consciousness during the week that I say, I'm going to talk about this. Well, yesterday, as something happened that really was so profound to me, and to, I'm sure many of you, that it created or got my attention, and that was the death of Imam Hassan Sharif. Imam Hassan Sharif was the imam at the Masjid in Newark. And like many of you, I got word that he had been shot. And then soon after that, I got word that he passed. So from Allah we come, and to Allah is our return. We ask Allah for the choice reward for our brother. May Allah admit him to the paradise. And I just wanted to say that I didn't know Imam Hassan Sharif. I think I've talked to him on the phone a couple of occasions, but I didn't know him. At least I don't think I knew him. I used to live in Newark, but that was years ago. And I don't know if he was a member of the community at that time. I'm not even sure how old he was, you know, back in 81 and 82 when I was living in Newark. But I found someone that sent this statement by the mayor of Newark, Mayor Roz J. Baraka, who issued a statement from the mayor's office. And I do want to read that in case you haven't seen it. I do want to read the statement because this is something that the mayor wrote based on his knowledge of Imam Sharif. And it's a good tribute, I believe. So the statement is Mayor Roz J. Baraka, statement on the murder of Imam Hassan Sharif. And it states, this murder investigation is in the hands of the Essex County Prosecutor's Office, and our public safety ecosystem is supporting their efforts in every way possible. We will bring the perpetrator to justice, no matter how long it takes. And we encourage him to turn himself in through Newark's Safe Surrender Program. We don't yet know all the details, but here's what we do know. Imam Hassan Sharif stood with the people of this city, and we will stand with him and his family. None of us has to know the details about this shooting to condemn it. Any act of violence, any killing or harming of any person is never okay. no matter what precipitates or motivates such a depraved act. Today we mourn a fellow Newarker and a member of our city's multi-faith clergy community. I am disgusted that a gun has made its way through our community to kill one of us. I mourn the death of Imam Hassan Sharif and know any expression of condolence and comfort for his family and loved ones is inadequate. Our hearts are broken. As a city, we mourn so much today, but we must refuse to mourn our capacity to love each other and to embody our ideals for tolerance and understanding, acceptance, and equality. We must continue to build a Newark that serves as a safe refuge for all and where justice is served to those who act out in violence. We must refuse to mourn our capacity to reach out to each other before difficulties become crises, and we must tighten our embrace of each other with full and tender compassion. And that was from Mayor Roz J. Baraka, from the mayor of the city of Newark. So I just wanted to read that because I thought it was a profound statement given for our brother, Imam Hassan Sharif. And can you remember him in our dua, our collective dua, and ask Allah to give him the best benefits of the world, of the life to come in the Jannah, inshallah. As-salamu alaykum on that. All right. one of the things, a couple of things we can talk about. And last week we had a lively show, lively program, and we talked about how going to national conferences and whether it's the Moscow's convention or time to be grateful or things of that nature, going to those events, though they're good, though they're enjoyable, it gives us a chance to see each other since the last time we saw each other. But in terms of economic transactions, there's a large outlay of funds, most of which does not reach the intended target, which should be the organization that's giving the fundraiser. And to me, it would seem to be a very inefficient way to support our institutions, very inefficient way, because we spend, as I stated, it probably cost me $2,500 at least to go to the events. Yet other $100 I spend, probably $300 reaches its mark. The balance of the money goes to the businesses that help facilitate the trip, such as airfare, hotel, rent a car, right? And my heart wants to give most of that money to the organization because our organizations need funds in order to be viable. So to me, that is a something that needs to be addressed and solved. You know, it needs to be dealt with. And it's not a good resource. And that's my thinking. So we talked about that last weekend. Just to draw attention away for looking for good solutions. And I really don't have to go through a lot of explanation as to if what my analysis is true or not. I'm sure if you ask each organization and they could give a report on their funds, the treasury, their funds or whatever, they would all say we need more money in order to fulfill our goals as an organization. I'm sure the Muslim Journal would say, yeah, we need some more money. I'm sure Mosque Care would say that. I'm sure the other entities would say the same thing, right? And so in our collective minds, it seems that we should at least make an attempt to come up with some solutions. I know some are saying, well, it's easy to criticize. Well, that's true. It's easy to criticize. And I don't want to get criticism from somebody that doesn't have a dog in the fight. You know? It's like somebody coming to my house. I'm going to criticize how I spend money to keep my house running. But they don't have a dog in the fight. But when I criticize, I'm not seeing it as though I don't have a dog in the fight. This is my community. I want it to be successful. And I make contributions to the organization. So it's not like I'm a disinterested, removed, distant critic. It's not like that. So we talked about that last week, and we got some good responses. And the problem isn't solved, so the conversation isn't over. We can't say, let's go to the next thing. But we haven't solved the past. And the same thing when Brother Henry was talking about in terms of our community. The conversation is still ongoing. And it hasn't been solved. So because the conversation hasn't been solved, does that mean we can't talk about it? Does it mean that we can't look for solutions to the problems? Is that what it means? If that's the case, then half the program's on this Blog Talk Radio can just shut down, right? Because you're not solving the problem. Just being critical. And I don't think that's the position we should take right now. Because there's so many things. And these things happen all the time. Every day, something happens. And I just can't ignore it. Give me an idea. Something happened this week. In the shopping center where my office is located here in Fayetteville, they had a shop that was selling clothing. Right? Shop selling clothes. And it was owned by some Koreans. And the Koreans sold out. They sold the shop. At first I thought, because I didn't go in there, I don't wear those kind of clothes. I didn't have a need to go in there, but I looked from afar. And I thought the people they sold it to were Hispanic. And they had a sign on the building that said, going out of business. Going out of business. They were trying to sell this stuff. So I looked at one of the brothers and I heard him speak. I said, he's Arab. And by that time, They ran the going out of business for about 3 or 4 months. Then they closed up, or they were doing some renovations inside. And the guys going in there doing the renovations, they were Hispanic. So I walked by every day, and I said, well, I wonder what they're going to put there now. Well, they had blacked the windows out so you couldn't see inside. And then pretty soon, they opened up. And it was beauty supplies. Big, I mean, they hooked that thing up, beauty supply store. And I know before that, the Koreans were big in the beauty supplies. I said, well, maybe some Koreans are coming. And then they opened up, and I went inside. And I noticed that the brothers in there running it were Arab. So that was something new to me. I mean, I don't know how it is up north in some of the cities where you live. But I know in Fayetteville, the Arabs running beauty supply stores is new. So I spoke with the brother. And young brother. I asked him where he came from. I mean, not from, I mean, what part of New York are y'all moving here from? America. And he said they came down from New York, which told me that they had moved into the beauty supply business in New York, and they were bringing it down south. And naturally, just the location of where the shopping center is, even though it's not in an African American community per se, but many of the customers are African American in that shopping center. You got all shades and colors, but I can clearly see who they were targeting. You see, if you're targeting, I can't even say that no more. Oh man, this thing is wild. If you're targeting beauty supply places and you're selling hair and weaves and whatever, I used to conclude that they were targeting African Americans. But our side is getting so upside down, you got Caucasians wearing weaves now. And if I'm crazy, somebody's all going to say, raise your hand and say, press one and tell me I'm crazy. But you got Caucasians wearing stuff like that, but not so widespread, but still, in what they were selling and where they're located, they were targeting African Americans, targeting our community. So it's repeating itself. It's coming because it seems as though that there is no brand loyalty with us. And when I say brand loyalty, there's no loyalty with African Americans to keep the money in our community or keep the money amongst ourselves. It might be growing some. It might be growing some. But not enough. No, not enough. I know in the 60s, those of you that were around in the 60s, you can bear witness that it was getting to the point where we were shopping with our own. We had on, you know, this is after integration now. This was during the black movement. This was during the black movement, where it was coming to the point where there was some pride in shopping with our own. And then that ended. And I don't know if it's what it's going to take to come back the way it was. Because there is no conscious movement amongst African Americans to support your own. There is no conscious movement at all. And Henry was right. Remember back in the, during the downtown of Armadale, Johanna. And the idea of do for self and those type of things, that was building a conscious movement. That was building a conscious movement. Not just with Muslims. It was building a conscious movement for people other than African-American Muslims. Because the numbers tell us that that conscious movement that was limited to just African-American Muslims would not be successful. Because they're not, back then there wasn't enough of us. And quiet as kept, today it ain't enough of us. So you got to go beyond. You have to go beyond African-American Muslims to African-Americans in general. And Henry, when you had that conversation, the problem is this. That foreign influence entered amongst Muslims, that when you have this conversation, somebody's going to press one and raise their hand. They probably won't have time to expose them. Somebody's going to press one and raise their hand and say, you can't talk about race. This is Islam. Islam is not about race. As though there's a problem with me wanting to have something of pride for my people. Now, there's a problem with that. I was on Facebook, and somebody put a Facebook post up, and it read, and this is a Muslim that put this down, I don't raise my sons and daughters to be black men and women. I raise them to be men and women of character, not color. Which is good. I mean, that's good to do that. So I put a reply on the post, and I asked one question. Why can't they be black men and women of character? And if somebody can want to answer that for me, just raise your hand and answer that for me. But every time I see this, I say to myself, I got to discount who I am beyond the soul that Allah created. I got to be other than that. But my pride for my who I am and my race is built upon the foundation that human soul that Allah created. So somebody's going to waste a lot of time on social media, and they're going to think, all right, to be a Muslim, I can't be black. In order to be a person of character, I can't be black. But I tell you what, if we don't start preaching and showing examples of people of character who are from our race to counteract what they're doing in the popular culture, that are painting negative stereotypes about people. And if we don't start showing them that you can be like them and be have a good character, it might be another 100 years before we get some help. And it's just me talking. So press one and let me know what you think. We're going to go to this break, and we're going to come back after the break. We'll be right back after this message.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Edward Willis, advisor at Graceline Community, asking you to join me in supporting community-wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360. Make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or phone in your pledge to 910-317-0297. Again, make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or by phone at 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake the world. Thank you.
There's a place where words make people, a place where you're invited to expand your heart and mind. There's a place where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. You're listening to the American Muslim 360 Radio Network, 24/7, Muslim-hosted, from religion and current world events, politics, faith and education, marriage and health, music and arts, physical fitness and more. Join AM360. Where we're helping to build a model community every day. It's a place where you can help remake the world.
All right, we're back. This is Adam B.R., your host of Monday Saints here on AM360. And we're just talking about economic responsibility. And if you have anything you want to add or in the comments, just raise your hand or press 1. I see we have a caller here. Error code 314-833-314-833.
Assalamu alaikum. Alaikum assalam, Imam Adam B.I., and to your very astute radio listener audience of AM360, Mark Shahi from the STO. The Gateway City of St. Louis in the Show Me State of Missouri. Alhamdulillah, and praise and thanks belongs to Allah first and foremost. Another good topic. You know, when Imam Muhammad was with us, in terms of giving ourselves a name, a dignified name, as an ethnic group of people, he wanted us to accept the name Bilalian. And I know that was different for all of us, especially new in the religion of Al-Islam. But it wasn't accepted by the majority. There was an opportunity for us as a community, as a conscious community, for once in our lifetime, after coming here to the shores of, they say, the wilderness of North America, if you will, to freely select a name, a dignified name, in knowing something about the history of Bilal ibn Rabah and our connection as indigenous Muslims here in America. But that name was not supported. And, you know, when I look at it today, after better than 15 years after the transitioning of Imam Muhammad, the banner hasn't been taken up. There has been talk about it. But still, supposedly being conscious of that as an ethnic group of people, then maybe we would have clearer vision now to accept a dignified name that Imam Muhammad actually offered to us. And whether we realize it or not, Imam Adam, that could and would have been a dawah. Some of us may not see it like that, but Allah has blessed me to be able to see it like that in terms of inviting others, you know, to this way of life with the association with Bilal ibn Rabah and what he actually exemplified in the history of al-Islam and all. And I think that's so very, very important because we have, down through the years, our foreparents have answered to the names that Caucasian, European people have given to us, not only being enslaved, but even through Jim Crowism and all. And it's been very unsettling in terms of that. But, you know, we find our true picture in Scripture and what it is that Allah has created us to be. But you're absolutely right. We do have to and need to have an identity. And this, and Allah is telling us in the Quran, this is why I made you into different nations and different tribes. And there's many names in different nations and even tribes, even from the motherland that our people came from, different tribes, you know, those who watch Roots in terms of Kunta Kinte. He was from the village of Jufere. He was a Mandinka, as he said, Mandinka warrior in all. And even on the slave ship, there was many coming from different tribes where they had to learn their language and everything. Why? Because of the commonality of the situation and circumstances they was in and all. And then this leads to the unity of us in terms of the situation and circumstances that we have to be able to communicate with each other and the commonality that we all share in terms of even economic business and economic development and all. There should be a unified effort to want to have what other ethnic groups actually have. And we shouldn't be ashamed of that. In that regard. So, but it starts, you understand, with conversation. It starts with communication, the sharing of information, even in this community. This, I see this production, it seems to be an overlap from the previous one in that regard. And to have that type of mindset and disposition and spirit, there's nothing wrong with that, you know. For to see the elevation of your own community. I mean, other people do it. I'm not upset with them. I'm not upset with Jews when they have Jew town, or you know when you have Chinatown and all. So we can establish our own community and community needs. The community needs. But it starts with the mindset, the right disposition, and don't feel as though we are being separatists in that way, because Allah didn't cheat us out of anything. He gave us the NBA, not the National Basketball Association, but he gave us the natural born ability too, you know. So I see it in that way and in that vein. And Allah says, if we want to distinguish ourselves, in Surah 49, Ayat 13, it's often just read in terms of He made us into different nations and different tribes so we may get to know each other. But right after that, Allah says, the most honored in his eyesight are the ones that's most conscious and regardful of him. You see, most conscious and regardful of him in that regard. And so that can lead into a lot of different things in terms of the various aspects of human life and how we should be conscious and regardful of God, whether it's those four birds, and we're talking about business and economic and all, well, we should do that with the guidance of God and also his Rasul, his messenger, in terms of how that actually took place in Medina Manawa, the city of enlightenment. I could say a lot more in regards to that, but I'll stop there and just add my 2 cents to this.
Well, let me ask you a question, Mark.
Yes, sir.
Now, all these other ethnic groups are doing what they do, right?
Yes.
They're starting businesses, right?
Yes.
And they come in our neighborhoods that are devoid of business.
Yes.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Just on a basic note of evidently Allah clocked into the humanity to do that.
Yes.
They didn't have to wait on the Quran to come to them. He clocked it in humanity. Now, the Quran comes to make sure that the human soul doesn't deviate from what's proper. And it operates in the best way. But the problem is seeing that something was taken away from us in our sojourn here in this country that
yes.
disconnected us from our natural human development. Now, what's that term you just used? The acronym you just used?
Yes, NBA, natural born ability.
Natural born ability. Right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Natural. So that ability is in every people except our people. You understand? Now, in order to reinstill it, the Caucasian is not going to give it back to us.
No. And we shouldn't expect
it. The Arabs, many of us do. The Arabs ain't going to give it back to us.
That's right.
I got it. I'll give it back to him.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, and you're making a valid point. You're making a valid point there. And then the question becomes, Imam Adam, how long are we going to continue to use the crutches that many have used for not coming to the realization and utilization of the natural born ability? How long are we going to just stay down and continue to cry and whine and continuously want others to pick us up and to do for us what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that we can do for ourselves? This was an attraction to me as a young man, you know, coming in. There were so many black organizations, and that's the term that we used at that time. There was many black organizations. It was talking about black power, but none of them impressed me like the Nation of Islam under the leadership of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Why? Because I was able to see black empowerment. I'm changing the word black empowerment. A people that was doing for themselves, establishing businesses for themselves, economic development. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad had an economic development plan. My grandparents, they never became Muslims, but they supported, we call them at that time, sympathizers, where they supported the economic plan. You know, 25 cents a week, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was asking that you save that. And they would send, a check every other month to support the economic plan. You know, one of the things that El Hajj Malik Shah Boz, a.k.a. Malcolm X, said, very noteworthy. He said, those who don't think about a future, you can't have one. If you don't have a plan, you're part of a plan, you see. So we got to get out of that mindset and disposition that even that somebody owes us something. I think that is even prevalent to a degree even in the Muslim community. You see, this is why we can't move forward. The progress that we could make. Stay on that mindset in terms of natural born ability. Allah has given us that. And despite
what I say, brother, we don't believe.
Well, we don't.
And when we start believing, you understand? I mean, I can hear people quote and recite the Quran or whatever, but they don't believe the foundation.
That's right.
They don't believe that God's given us that. So they stay away from that conversation because they don't believe.
Yeah. I often ask two questions, brother Imam Adam. Do you believe in Allah? And oftentimes when I'm giving lectures or workshops, everybody's hand go up. Now I change the question. Do you believe Allah? You see, there's a difference. You can believe in God, but do you believe God? So because if you believe God,
you
act on his word. I'll stop there. Assalamu alaikum.
You're right, brother. They're going to get mad with you, brother. All right. We're going to go to the phone lines. We got another caller. Error code 321-917. 321-917. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam, Imam, and listening audience, Delacy Umar, Melbourne, Florida. You know, I was listening to your topic and about the beauty salons and being out on. We have that scenario here in Brevard County. I knew there's at least three that Arab on. One is Algerian, African, Arab speaking African. But he had two, and then there's about two or three more has popped up. I'm thinking within the county of about a 30-mile radius, there's at least four or five beauty stores owned by the Arabs. And I, by the way, I'm a licensed barber. I've been watching and dealing with the hair industry for a while. I hesitated to get involved with the weaves and whatnot like that, but I am very conscious of the hair industry. But what I wanted to comment on, I have our Abyssinian black seed oil. I have some agreement from some of them to put it in their store, our Abyssinian black seed oil, because it's good for the scalp and hair. See? So I'm saying that to say, you know, sometimes we have to take advantage as well of the opportunity to be entrepreneur in that type of spirit to see how, okay, you're taking our industry, you're going to have all our people coming in. So why don't we try to put some products on the shelves of those stores and take advantage of it in that way. So that's, I just wanted to share that. That's a strategy that I'm working, you know,
I made some inroads, brother, because when I went into the store and I saw who it was, I said, brother, I said, really, I'm against you. He said, what? You know, I said, y'all come in our community, in the black community, and you take money out? No, brother. He said, God, we support the black community. I said, you do? Yes. I said, well, I'm going to test it. I tell you what. I'm going to go on the other side of town and open up one of these deals. Can you help me? But we'll help you. We'll help you. So I got it right where I want you, brother.
Yeah.
Let's see. We're,
So look, I want to put some in his store. You make sure you introduce my brand to him. I'd like to ship him some black seed oil up there. So anyway, I just wanted to share that we should take advantage of these opportunities as well, you know. And make sure we are getting some financial. And when you start talking financial things, I get excited. You know, that's my area. I like to see how we can be successful financially and economically for families as well as businesses, et cetera, et cetera. So thank you. Thank you, man, for to share that.
just let you know, I opened the bottle and started using the black seed. I had black seed for a long time. After our discussion, I took it. I do it. I've been doing it every morning, and I think it's working.
Yeah, I think so too. And did you notice that our brand is not that oily like you used to castor oil and cod liver oil and stuff like that?
Well, because of my trauma, being traumatized when I was small with castor oil, I don't even remember what it looked like. When I go to the store and I see the bottle, I just walk right by it because I was traumatized. My mama made me take that stuff, and I was psychologically scarred. So.
Yeah, I know. A lot of people tell me that, and I went through it too. You know,
so you
that's
understand.
Why I know the difference.
So Chris,
so thank you,
we're trying to draw a comparison, but I'm taking it. So let me stay what I'm doing, and I'll be all
right. Alhamdulillah. I appreciate that, and your program about the lost economics in our community, I think it's so important for us to look at a strategy to try to harness some of that economic potential at these events. You know, I think the ma'am addressed it once, and I don't remember exactly what he said about it, but he was concerned about that too, all of the money that was being spent and not being harnessed for the benefit of our community. So we really got to come up with some strategies to look at that. Appreciate it, man. I'm sure.
And again, in response to that, every ethnic group that I observe have their built-in, going back to Mark said, natural-born NBA ability. Have that built in to them, right? I'm observing the Yemenis. In their advancement, eventually they're going to stop spending money with someone else that they can generate for themselves. That's what they do. When I look at them, how they're now buying buildings, they just didn't feel comfortable paying rent. So they bought the whole strip mall because they didn't want to be stuck just paying rent the whole time. That's natural. Right? They wouldn't move into a community and spend money at someone else's store for years. They're natural born ability said, we got to buy a store and put stores in our own communities. That's natural. To be satisfied with someone else doing is not natural, which goes back to the point, we were created unnatural in this whole environment here in North America. When they brought us here, they disconnected us from our natural abilities. So much so that we feel comfortable now. Had no problem as a race, as a people, or whatever we want to call them, whatever name on the car itself. But we feel comfortable allowing that to happen to us. So now, there's not going to be a great awakening of many African Americans, like we're going to wake up one night now, a whole bunch of them. That's not going to be awakening. But those of us that say we see, we should start the movement out. I'm reading an article. If you get a chance, Imam W. Muhammad speaks on economic responsibility. This is part two. And it was an interview by Bari Muhammad. And he interviewed Imam back in February 9th, 2001. And Imam said, we got to, in paraphrasing, we got to establish this not just for African-American Muslims, but for the African-American community. We got to reach out and align ourselves with African-American Christians. Just like Brother Mark was saying about, you have people wanting to support, right? Because some of them will see the wisdom of what we're doing. They're looking for a champion. They're looking for somebody to champion this responsibility. They just don't have the language in their religion to move into that. They don't have that language. They don't have that kind of a movement. And especially today, when you got the Caucasian questioning African Americans if they want to work for the improvement of our people. In this society today, you got people having them think that they're being racist. If I want to work for blackness, I'm being racist. I'm being a racist. And that's just as bad. In our masjids, when you get these Muslims are telling, I'm being racist because I'm mentioning something for my people. I tell you, a brother told me that, brother, there's no race in Islam. Because I'm talking about the improvement of my people. There's no race in Islam. When your people don't want nothing to do with my people as Muslims, they don't get no movement with me. So in my estimation, don't be sidetracked with that mentality because you want to work for the improvement of African-American community. Don't be sidetracked like that because they're not going to lift a hand to help you. They're too busy trying to sell us something. And it's the same thing in the broader community now where you got – the right wing got African-Americans thinking they're being racist because they want to look out for our people. This stuff is crazy. It gets interesting. So anyway, I'm going to get out of here, get ready for Imam Yusuf Ramadan. I didn't get his topic, but I know it's going to be a good one. So inshallah, we'll be back next Thursday. And maybe I'll be inspired that I won't say nothing about African Americans at all. Maybe if that'll help you feel better, that I won't seem as racist because I care about our people. Well, but I don't know how to do it, but I might try. But I didn't become I became a Muslim initially because I was worried about my people. A lot of them had to give up that concern. He just said, I'm going to give you something that can be good for all people. And that's what we found as Muslims in this reality. So we'll be back next week, inshallah, on Money Sense. And
assalamu alaikum. Welcome to AM360. Join your host, Manira Habil, every Tuesday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we explore relationship topics addressing what we didn't know, what we've learned, and what we need to know and why. Because on this show, it's all about courtship and marriage.
Assalamu alaikum. This is the Preacher Hadi, host of Al-Islam and Focus Learning Lab here on AM 360, inviting you to join me Saturday evening at our new time, 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, as we continue to share inspiring and thought-provoking Islamic education. Inshallah, I will see you in the lab at our new time, 5 to 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern, Saturday evening. Assalamu alaikum, and thank you kindly.
Assalamu alaikum, Imam Yusuf Ramadan, Mark Shaheed. We cannot hear you. I don't know if you're on mute or what, so we can't hear you. Just to let you know. If you're on mute, take yourself off of mute. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Adam B.R. here. I don't see Imam Yusuf on the line. I'm not sure if he called in. I'm not sure what. Is Brother Kareem Hamid on the line? Can you press 1, Brother Kareem? Okay. I'm not sure he. I'm not prepared to do another hour, so I'm going to have to get trying to see if there's anybody that can take over. But okay, somebody had their hand up. Okay, I see. Here it is. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam, Imam Adam Bia. I am having problem with internet connection, and I spoke with Imam Yusuf Ramadan earlier, and he's experiencing the same thing. So I don't have access to internet nor the studio board, unfortunately.
What do you suggest?
I don't have a visual.
Okay, there's no one. Is this System Martha 727-741? I'm not sure who that is. They didn't raise the hand. They don't have the hand up.
Yes, that's Martha Nyla. I apologize. I was on mute. Assalamu alaikum. Yeah, I'll get in the host seat, but I'm at the hospital, so I won't be able to direct anything, but I'll be able to do the board if you, Imam Kareem Hamid, if you're able to do so, do the facilitating.
Right. I don't have a visual of the studio board.
No, I have a visual of the studio board. And I'll get in the host. All right.
Okay.
Alhamdulillah.
If you would open up Imam Yusuf Ramadan's mic, inshallah, we should.
Okay, let me
he
see.
He should be able to broadcast.
He's 908, right? Okay. Imam Yusuf Ramadan, yeah. Is this your number, 908?
No, that's not him.
That's not him. Okay, let me close your mic. I apologize, 908-6. 86. Let's see. Imam,
I see 914, but that's not it. He can. He should be able to press 1 to get in the queue. I mean, get it. Yeah, get in the queue.
Yes.
But
apparently he's
number.
Not here. Okay. Which all that. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and call in and get in the host seat, and we'll go from there. Inshallah. Assalamu alaikum, everyone.
Assalamu
alaikum.
Well, let's see. My audio board is not showing up. I will apologize, everyone. Adam, if you can play a public service announcement from yours, and then I'll get into the hosting. Okay, thank you.
All right, no problem.
This is Isaiah Abdushakur, now with the Islam's beliefs universal. Allah is the creator with no partners. Muslims have 99 popular attributes for Allah. What is Al-Islam? Al-Islam is the complete way of life that reflects submission to the will of God. Islam means submission, derived from the Arabic word meaning peace. Who is a Muslim? A Muslim is anyone who submits to the will of God. Everyone is born Muslim, and their environment makes them otherwise. How does one become a conscious Muslim? To become Muslim is to make a public declaration that there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is the messenger of God. This is called the Shahadatain. Who is Muhammad? Muhammad the Prophet was born in Mecca, the holiest city to Islam in Arabia, in the year 570 or in the 6th century. How many Muslims are there? Worldwide, there are just over 1 billion Muslims, or one out of every five people on earth is a Muslim. In the United States, there are approximately 8 million Muslims. 2.5 million are recognized as indigenous, with the remainder by the way of immigration. Aren't all Muslims Arabs? No. Most Muslims live east of Karachi. 30% of Muslims live in the Indian subcontinent, 20% in sub-Sahara Africa, 17% in Southeast Asia, 18% in the Arab world, 10% in the states of the former Soviet Union or Russia. There is a significant Muslim population in China, Latin America, and Australia. Aren't all Arabs Muslim? No.
Okay. Assalamu alaikum. Imam Yusuf Ramadan is here. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Your mic is open. Alhamdulillah.
Assalamu alaikum. Yeah, we're having a little internet trouble. But we're on now. Alhamdulillah.
Yes, sir. You're on live.
Mr. Rahman Rahim. That is peace be unto you. With God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, we'd like to welcome everyone to New Day for Islam in America, American Muslim Edition, American Muslim 360 Edition, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation. My name is Yusuf Ramadan. This is the program that deals with current events, trending topics, and issues of concern from the Muslim perspective. And as we always say, the Muslim perspective is and always should be the human perspective. So today, we definitely want to speak to you about a matter of concern. And certainly we want to begin with the killing of our beloved Imam in Newark, New Jersey, Imam Hassan Sharif, a young brother, young Imam, and hadn't even been in the position very long, who was gunned down yesterday on the masjid property, in the parking lot while sitting in his car. So we don't believe, you know, we don't want to speculate. We haven't concluded the investigation, and we don't really want to speculate, but we don't think that it was an accident. We don't believe that it was an accident because he was sitting in his car. He was talking to his wife on the phone at the time. And we were waiting, of course, for the police as well as our community to finish conducting the investigation. But this wasn't the first incident that they had at that masjid with him. He had another incident back in the summer that just passed, in August, where he was able to disarm an individual, took a gun away from him, and we know that he has been involved with the Stop the Violence activities in the neighborhood. And Newark has been plagued Newark has been plagued by crime and violence for many decades, as well as other communities, you know. But we don't know that's the cause. And one thing that we have to continue, one thing that we have to learn is that we speak with one voice. That's our discipline. We've gotten so lax in our discipline, coming from the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, in many ways, very lax. We think everybody should say something. And if they walk up to us and stick a camera in our face and a microphone into our mouth, we just start talking. And I'm sure that the sister meant well, you know, but we just don't start talking. Those cameras, those people that come with those cameras, you know, they're not necessarily on our side. And even if they are, we have to be very careful what we say, even if we tell the truth. Some people I heard say, you know, you always tell the truth. They were praising Malcolm. He always told the truth, brother. He always told the truth. And I'm going to always tell the truth. I don't care who it hurts. That's not intelligent. That's not intelligent. Even if you know the truth, you need to check with your leadership to see if they want that to be revealed at this particular time or in that particular way. This is a huge case. Not merely because he was a pillar of the community and the religious leader, but because of the events going on in the world, this has national and international implications. And we think that we are qualified to come in and just speak. We're not. We're not. Well, I have my opinion. And they say everybody has an opinion. And you know what they say about it. They have a saying that's not too nice. Everybody has an opinion. But some people have informed opinions. And you have to realize that the news media, the people, they're not your friends. So they didn't. Those people are still having that argument today. They still haven't learned. When John F. Kennedy, JFK, was assassinated, and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad gave the directive not to speak on it at this particular time. These people are grieving. They've lost their president. He was a beloved president. Even among African Americans, you saw when you went into their homes, they had a picture on the wall. They had a picture on the wall or a plate with the picture of Martin Luther King and JFK and the white Jesus. They had them all three up on the wall. Well, I guess that was just in my house. That wasn't in your house. That wasn't in your grandmother's house. So the people were emotional and grieving. He told them not to say nothing. And Malcolm said that it's a case of the chickens coming home to roost. Now, was he wrong? No. Was he telling the truth? Yes. But so what? And people that don't have the wisdom to see about timing is everything. Timing is everything. You can't have that discussion with them because they're lost. You're never going to reach them. You understand? They think it's meritorious for them just to tell the truth. The man talked to us about using psychology. When you come in the house at 1 o'clock in the morning or 2 o'clock in the morning, and your wife asks you where you've been, you're going to use some psychology. Not that you're lying. But you have to. It's like the brothers tell a joke that, you know, when the wife asks him, do these parents make me look fat? Or do I look fat to you? And the brother said, no, not to me. You're using psychology. Huh? So we have to be intelligent. You know that if you say certain things to certain people, it triggers them. That word that they're using now, trigger, it's triggering. So you don't use it in all cases or without some context. Some people will never get that. You're wasting your time trying to talk to them. And these are people that weren't followers of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. They weren't followers of Malcolm. But they're running their mouth now. Now they're all Malcolmites to the point where they worship Malcolm. One thing about Malcolm, he always told the truth. Well, he said things. He was a wordsmith. See, the imam explained to us, many of them have swallowed the bait that when Malcolm came back from Umrah, that he came back and said, I regret saying that the white man is the devil. I saw Muslims whose skin was the whitest of white and eyes were the bluest of blue, and we were all brothers. But the imam said that wasn't Malcolm's first time knowing that. But he said that in order to manipulate the media. Malcolm was a master. He knew how to manipulate the media. He wasn't saying that because this was the actual quote-unquote discovery. So these people are talking from the outside looking in. Oh, they followed Malcolm. They followed the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, except they didn't. Huh? Everybody now, all politicians tell you, I marched with Martin Luther. No, you didn't. You did not march with Martin Luther King. Biden said he marched. No, you didn't. No, you did not. Or maybe Bernie Sanders, we can find you at some one march back 50 years ago. I marched with Martin Luther. So you went to one march. And they use that in order for their political advantage. You listen to New Day, Father Solomon, America, American Muslim 360 edition, number one Islamic radio station in the nation. We have some important announcements for you, so please don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while.
The peace be on you. Assalamu alaikum. My name is Omar Shakir, and I'm resident imam of Masjid Bilal Ibn Rabah in San Antonio, Texas. And I would like to invite you every first Sunday from 12 to 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time to join us for our class where we're dealing with the subject matter of the basics in Islam. We are excited about this program, even if we're new Muslims or Muslims that have been in the faith for many, many years. It is a wonderful opportunity to learn and understand this beautiful way of life. We also connected with various insights from the tafsir of Imam Waliduddin Muhammad radiallahu anhu, and we all explain its practical application. We look forward to being with you on every first Sunday of the month where we would deal with the basics of Islam. The peace be on you. Assalamu alaikum.
That I may not know you.
So it's important, very important, that those of us who did learn those lessons, that we apply those lessons. These are serious times we're living in. The universe It's Allah is sending us messages through the universe. You think because they're not bombing your house and bombing your children and your grandchildren and your family that they're somehow in a different world? No, it's only one world. That's happening in our world, my world, your world. Even though it may not be happening to you directly, we're all living through it. So you think that they can get killed over there, but we can't get killed over here? Is that what you think? Well, it's showing you different. And some of us are just crazy. One person posted on there about the brother being killed at the masjid. That's not a horrible way to die. At least he was at the masjid. Now, how the hell can you get through to people like that, that think like that? That's not a horrible way to die. We had instances in Islamic history where Uthman, radiallahu anhu, he was killed in the masjid, in prayer. That wasn't a horrible way to die. That's how you hope to go. I mean, you're not going to reach some of these people. We're never going to reach them. And it doesn't even make sense trying to point out something to them because they're too far gone. Too far gone. You can only talk to, as the Imam told us, right-minded people. Even them are too far gone. I've been preaching all my life about security and having security. Now, how in the world can the Imam be in his car and there was brothers in the masjid and nobody's out there watching out for him? And the bad part about it, he had an incident there before, a few months ago. We have to be security-minded. Allah tells us in his book, some of you pray and some of you watch. So y'all are so crazy, you think, oh, the prayer's over so I can stop watching. We used to secure our facilities. Nobody just used to walk in your parking lot or walk into you. Now, I don't know what happened. Maybe somebody was in there having a seizure. I don't have all the information. I don't know. So I'm not talking about that case specifically. But I'm saying too many times I've seen we are lax. We're lax. And I've seen gatherings that we've had, a recent gathering. I wasn't happy with that security. I didn't even see no security from us. So after we got well into the hotel and up on the second floor, and I looked. Well, they had undercover. You didn't see him. Inshallah. But I know security when I see him. Even when they're trying not to look like security. That's my job. That's what I do. And one sister told me, well, you probably know more about it than I do. Probably? No, not probably. That's what I do for a living. You know probably about it. So some of you pray and some of you watch. You have to secure your leadership. I'm not just talking. So now they want to know, well, why are they going to do an autopsy? Because it was a murder. They have to do an autopsy. I don't care what your religion is. They don't care what your religion is. They're going to do an autopsy. Because in case, that's a crime. The medical exam. So, well, if this was a Muslim country, because we don't do it, you wouldn't do one? Yeah, well, we don't believe in that initially. You wouldn't do one if there was a murder and you're trying to get to the bottom of it? You can eat pork if it's to save your life. We just don't think. We're too robotic. I was there when Imam
the Imam of, who he was the Imam of that same masjid, Imam Ali Muslim, when he died in his hotel room. I was on the same floor. Imam Muhammad said, do an autopsy. We want to know if there's foul play involved. I worked in the hospital. And not just Muslims, other religious groups. They asked me, Brother Imam, well, you know, we don't believe in, listen, the medical examiner takes over when it's obvious foul play or even suspected foul play. Now, if you die from natural causes, that's something different. These are very serious times that we're living in. Everybody shouldn't be running their mouth. Don't let them just walk up to you in front of the mask and stick a camera in your face and a mic to your mouth and you start rapping. We have to be more intelligent than that. We don't let these people come to us with their ideas and change our mind about the way of life that we have. Oh, that's sexist, Brother Man. Huh? That's sexist. Sister Martha, I have a call I have to take. I'll be right back.
All right, that's very well understood. And assalamu alaikum, everyone. Martha Naila here. If you have any comments you'd like to share while Imam Yusuf Ramadan takes a pause, please press 1 on your phone. Imam Kareem, your mic is open. We're going to play a short public service announcement. All right, and we'll be right back. Thank you, dear listeners. This is a new day for Al Islam, the AM360 edition with Imam Yusuf Ramadan.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Imam Mikhail Ukda, Assistant Imam of Masjid Al-Halim, New Medina, Mississippi, asking you to join me in supporting community-wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360. Make your tax-deductible contribution today at cwsc.us or phone in your pledge 910-317-0297. Together, we can remake the world.
God's peace be upon you. This is Muhammad Sharif. As we know, everything begins with the seed. Rain International is world leader in seed nutrition and the first to market seed-based products. Our flagship product is called Soul, S-O-U-L. The main ingredient is the black cumin seed. Here are a few reasons to drink Soul. Supports a healthy immune system. Give a body the boost to stay healthy and strong. Improve indigestion. Decrease infection. Remove inflammation and other benefits. This is an opportunity to improve your health and increase your wealth. Please call or text me at 914-434-375. Please join me in supporting CWSC, the Community-Wide Shura Conference and AM360, in remaking the world into a better place. We support the 50-year human family planning and look forward to doing business with you. Our website is raininternational.com. We are available at any time. Please call this number, 914-434-3275. Thank you.
And you are quite welcome, Muhammad Sharif. Yes, Imam Yusuf Ramadan.
Yes, assalamu alaikum. Okay. That was a security call. I had to take that, you know, doing some, they want to do an installation, you know, with security windows and doors on a property. But
and yes, you have two callers, Imam.
Okay. I've been advocating for us to have cameras and upgrade our cameras for decades. Okay. And people have told me they don't need cameras. I've tried to put cameras on the imam's office. No charge. That's my imam. Some people around him told me, we don't need that. True story. Go ahead. We'll take the first call, Sister Monk.
All right. We go to first caller here, 314-832-1917. Going to Mark Shaheed. Assalamu alaikum. Your mic is open.
Alaikum. Assalam to you, Martha, Naila, Abdullah, and Imam Yusuf Ramadan to the AM360 listenership. Mark Shaheed from the STL, Gateway City of St. Louis. Yes, sir. I want to say alhamdulillah, praise and thanks belongs to Allah first and foremost. Imam Yusuf Ramadan, I really appreciate sincerely all that you said. As phrase of the young people, I don't know if they still using that, but what you said is keeping it real. Keeping it real. You know, most recently in here in the STL, my brother had surveillance cameras, whereas on the outside, in the vestibule, when you come in the imam's office, on the lower level, and there are brothers that are able to monitor from the home to be able to see. This is so very important. We don't have it like it used to back in the Nation of Islam, where I don't know about there in Brooklyn or the Bronx or Harlem or Manhattan or what, but here the Temple of the Mosque, there used to be brothers who actually lived there on the upper level where you had security there at that time. But it's so important, you understand, that we be conscious and heighten our consciousness in the world that we're living in today and all. That's very important. And I also, you know, agree with you in terms of people speaking out of place. We don't know the ramifications of what it is that we're saying. And the worst way to speak is to speak from an emotional base, come to our own conclusions emotionally. We can't do that. We just can't do that. And there is a difference in terms of an informed opinion as opposed to just what it is that you think or what you feel. We can't do that. You know, there's ramifications, you know, for what it is actually said in that regard. And we are to get the proof, to get the evidence. This is what Allah says in the Quran. If you are true, then where's your proof and where's your evidence? And so this is under investigation. And so you have to wait for what is gathered in that. And, yes, I was aware of Imam Muhammad's position, you know, with Ali a Muslim and all. So we have to be intelligent. And if Allah says to us that for life or death, if you're in a situation like that, you can eat pork, then even you can lie if it comes down to life and death. You see, all matters, as the Prophet has said, actions and matters are judged by your niyyah, your intent. Allah knows what is revealed and what is concealed. So we have to keep it real. There are situations and circumstances that warrant that we have a certain mental attitude and disposition and behavior. And those who are not qualified, they shouldn't qualify themselves just because somebody put a camera in their face and want to get an action response. This world is based on sensationalism, and we need to understand that. I can say more, but I just want to let you know that I really appreciate you saying that, and we all should be vigilant. In the Nation of Islam, you were on post even if you wasn't assigned to a post. I still, you know, at my age and how long I've been in this community, I'm always on post, and I haven't been properly relieved. I'll stop there. Assalamu alaikum.
All right. Thank you, Mark. And now, Imam, we go to Imam Delese Umar of Melbourne, Florida. Assalamu alaikum, Imam. Your mic is open.
Thank you. Alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you, Imam, for sharing those things. And definitely we should be taking your advice as a professional security person. So we want to hear from you. I called my friend, one of my friends, this morning right after Fajr time and reminded him to accompany my other friend who usually does the adhan at the masjid. He goes there and no one is there. And in this particular masjid, I had an incident in 2003 where I was shot at from the wooded area. And so I reminded him to accompany him. And, you know, in these days, we have brothers who have carry permits, you know, so the imam should be protected. He should be accompanied and looked out for. Because, you know, that's what we should do as Muslims. We have to get over this individual thinking and start back again. You know, Allah reminds us in the Quran about these issues of to go forth in a party, don't go alone. So when you have something early in the morning before day and late at night, it should be a couple, not one person doing things. So please make some comments on that, Imam. Shukran. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you. Alhamdulillah.
All right, that's it, Imam. Alhamdulillah.
You turned out well. Alhamdulillah. Look, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Rahimullah Alayhi, he told us and told us that even, not just an imam, but all of us, that if we travel, then we should travel with a companion. If there to be nothing but a witness for us. You see? Now, that's not always possible. And a lot of times my duties as an imam, I have to do things. And a lot of times people tell me they can't come. I'm the only one who can go. And in that case, Allah is my companion. Alhamdulillah. He's always our companion. You know? So sometimes we have to go. If we have to go without accompaniment, that's what we have to do. But we have to value our leadership. We have to value our leadership. And there's a young brother, Brother Antar, who's acting, was assistant imam, acting as the imam now. You know, we don't value our leadership. Now, I don't know where, if you see the news in your parts of the country, but it's all over the news about this imam. This is international, has international implications. We're not small. We're bigger than we think we are. They want to know, does it have anything to do with the Middle East? There was a mother and her son that was killed in the Illinois area because of what's going on in the Middle East, because they're Palestinian. So we don't know. People are trying to falsely make this a religious thing, as if they're not, as if you're a Muslim and they're not killing you and bombing you if you're an atheist. Maybe you're not a Muslim no more. Maybe you became an atheist. Maybe you became a Christian. As if they're not dropping bombs on you too in Gaza. So don't fall for that. Yes, they have a lot of what they call Islamophobic information going on out there. It's Islamophobic, okay? And so we don't know. We know that the imam was stabbed in the masjid while he was leading the prayer in Jersey. Okay? That shouldn't happen. You imams that are listening, when you're doing the khutbah, there should be security. Not sitting the same way, looking the same way as everybody else, where you can't see behind them. You should be to the side where they can see anybody coming in. If you only have one person, or another person should be there by the door. Don't let them just rush in there on you. Allah says they hope to take you by a headlong rush. while you put away your weapons. So we have to be vigilant. And if you have people that are not trained, but they have the inclination to want to learn, send them to me. Call me. We're going to be upgrading our security. Okay? We met when we had the EVERS meeting. We had down in Orlando, Florida, the community meeting we had down there. And you see how we had the security set up. We had people outside in the parking lot, inside the hotel. So as soon as you come on the premises, we had our security there, not other people's security. And I've been on security with Imam W.D. Muhammad. When we went to the airport, I wasn't there when that happened, but they told me, we wait until his plane takes off. Why? Because we put him on the security put him on the plane one time, and they made everybody get off the plane. So he came back into the terminal, was sitting there by himself. Security had left. No, we stay until that plane takes off. We know that he's in the air, and have somebody waiting for him in Chicago when he gets there. Now, I don't expect you to do that for me. That's fine. Or we may not be able to do that. But I'm saying that's our leader. And we secured his family when they came into the city. Yes, we secured his family, his children, his wife, etc. That's correct. Now, you think that's too much? And just told you they just gunned down the imam at prayer, at Fajr prayer? You still think that's too much? Then you should pass it on to people that have that inclination in them. And we can train them. This has been my passion. I've tried to get the Muslim community to upgrade their cameras for I don't know how long. Oh, let Homeland Security do it. They'll do it for free. Pay for your own. They're not that expensive. Them cameras come out of China now. They're very inexpensive. Get somebody that knows how to do the install and pay them. You can't afford it, you should shut down your masjid. You don't have enough money to do that? What are y'all doing with your money? Do something. Our masjid is closed, but we got cameras on it. Well, why? Isn't that a way? Because people are still coming around trying to mess with the masjid. Yes. But we got the eye in the sky on them. And I can sit here right here while I'm talking to you now and look at the master. Those of you that got something wrong on your mind, know that we're looking at you. Okay? And as Brother Mark was saying, we had brothers, not just living there, but we had brothers on post. Nowadays, you know, this is a different thing. You can't say you're building a nation. They want some money. And we had to put people to sit out there in front of the masjid. Hey, we had to pay them. It gets to be expensive. You can't be there. We couldn't afford to keep them there 24 hours a day. It runs into a lot of money.
Yep,
although we have had them there. Okay, let's take that call. Thank you.
Alhamdulillah. No, thank you. All right, we go to 972-4567. I believe this is Ismail. Correct me if I'm wrong. Assalamu alaikum. Your mic is open.
Alaikum assalam. You're correct. And I just real quick, I want the man to keep going because he's especially about having that one voice. And I hope people that listen to this use this as an opportunity to speak with their community to find out who their spokesperson is. And not just come out and talk. And like the man said, I have an app right now I can click on and see what's going on in both of our buildings, inside and out. But one thing I'm going to add, and you really reinforce, is that we don't have cameras in our office. So we most definitely going to get cameras in our office, hopefully. And one last thing, and you made so many points about the airport. And even, I don't know if people know that, even when you're transporting our leader, when the man was being transported, in a car. There's security ways to protect him with the other vehicles around him, and the way you maneuver, the way you make turns. So it's so many aspects that I wish people will take advantage and learn from you that we need to do. Thank you. As-salamu alaykum.
Thank you. Alhamdulillah. Yes. And, you know, with the indoor, we do have a camera inside the masjid as well. But you have to be careful, of course, when you put doing indoor cameras in a public place. And the masjid, you know, is open to the public. When I say the public, I don't just mean anybody, but certainly you can't have cameras in your bathrooms and things of that nature. But you can have a camera outside the bathroom, okay? And you can have a camera in the masala, okay, to know what's going on. Look, you don't know what's going to happen at the masjid. I came from the time, well before 9/11, when the Muslims were getting bomb threats. We were getting bomb threats on our Clyde Muhammad School. And we had to make a decision, not just for my own children, or Brother William Kareem's children that was there, which is a big enough decision, but for other people's children. Are we going to open the school or not? This is not no play toy. This is real life. And I'm sorry if I seem, you know, stern about this, but that's just the way it is. So forgive me. But, you know, certain times it's not no plaything. Some of us are so sensitive. I remember we had an incident right outside on Northern Boulevard outside the masjid. Imam Bakruddin Rahimullah Ali was still alive, and the police were out there, and they were engaging an individual. We didn't know if they were going to start shooting. We didn't know what was going on. And I said to, you know, when they're giving orders in the military, oh, we're not in no military, brother. They give commands. They don't say, would you please go left? If you feel like it, go left face, about face, if you're in the mood. And I told the brother, come out from in front of the masjid. He's a nut. He always been a nut. And he said to me, I know you can talk to me better than that. He want me to pat him on his behind in a life or death situation. So see, I didn't have no problem with that because I had a father. So when those brothers, when those Imams was around, William Kareem knows what I'm talking about, they didn't talk to you. They didn't pat you on your behind. They gave you orders. Because they cared about your life and death. And you complied. And my feelings wasn't hurt. It didn't hurt my feelings. My father didn't talk to me nice all the time. That was my mother's job. He would tell me, hey, if you want somebody to feel sorry for you, talk to your mother. Oh, well, that's what's wrong with us. That's toxic masculinity. We need to be, look, we know what we had to do to survive. So if we have another call, we have a few minutes left. If you want to bring them in, Sister Martha, you can take another call. We only have a couple of minutes left.
All right. Let's see. Press 1 on your phone. I'm looking at my board. I don't see any hands raised. But, hey, ma'am, I do see one now. Mark is returned. Let me just say this quickly. You know, as organizations, too, leadership and such, as you're saying, not making emotional and abrupt assumptions. And praise be to Almighty God that we have an internal disposition, you know, many of us, that we have to know when to speak, what to say, and how to say it so that we don't, stir any flames. So alhamdulillah for that. Bringing on Mark Shaheed. Assalamu alaikum again, Mark. Your mic is open.
Alaikum assalam. Be very brief. Once again, thank you. Imam Yusuf Ramadan, because what you said today is very much needed in everything, and We can't allow media to manipulate our community to, you know, and tie it in with what's happening in the world and everything. So all it takes is one person to speak out of place, and there's different ramifications and everything, and even more jeopardize our community. You know, one thing I was part of security for Imam Muhammad the last 5 or 6 years of his life. So when I became a part of that, I knew, you understand, the seriousness of that. This is nothing to play with when you talk about security. And you're absolutely right. You're a professional. That's your profession. One security man knows another security man. And we never call Imam Muhammad by his name. He was always the principal. That was for security reasons. We would take different routes. We would come at different times. We would come in different places. In the places that the Imam would go, they had been checked out thoroughly in case something go down. The exit.
Advancing.
How we will exit. We park our cars. We never parked our cars backwards when we had to back out. Our cars were already parked in a way.
That's right.
And roll out.
Exactly. Right.
So you can see just some of the things I'm saying. I understand something about security. So all of these things that you're saying, Brother Imam Yusuf Ramadan, is very, very important. And we were always vigilant. We was vigilant. We didn't know the Quran then. Nobody told us to be watching and pray. We didn't know the Quran then. We wasn't making salat then, you know, at that point. We make a dua. Surely I turn myself unto thee, O Allah, being upright to he who originated the heavens and the earth. And I'm not from among the polytheists. That's what we did. We did that before we left. But now we are practicing the best of our ability, these five pillars. So I'm just only just saying, just sharing some of those things. And we always protected leadership. We protected our women, our sisters. They didn't go to the car by themselves. All of these things, I mean, I'm just only just saying, you can bear witness because you was in the Nation of Islam. I was in the Nation of Islam. And we shouldn't forego those things. And we can't just take it, you understand, and be naive about it, just thinking that everything's going to be okay. No. We have to provide the security, and that's part of our job. Arujul Kalamuna Anisa, the men or the legs, they are the Kalamun. They are the protector and the maintainer of the women. The community is seen as the female, and we are to protect them with our whole self, our own life and everything. So just be conscious. Let's be vigilant across the whole community. This is an excellent, excellent production that you gave today. I appreciate it greatly. May Allah continue to bless you and us. As-salamu alaykum.
Amen. Yes. So we only have a couple of minutes, and I thank you for that, Brother Mark. That's right. We would always walk the sisters to their car or walk them to the subway if they were going to the subway or get a ride for them. I always arranged, told the brothers, you know, or I would say, what direction are you going in, sister? And put the sisters in the car with me or have other brothers take them to where they're going and make sure they get there. We've got away from that. We have gotten away from that. And that's something, this world is not secure. They're assassinating people. They're assassinating people openly and saying they did it. Saying they did it. Yeah, we have the right to go after our enemies anywhere we see them. So you think that's just over there? No, they're over here. Those people that think like that come from here. What are you talking about, brother, man? Guess what I said. That go back and forth and come back and forth over here. They're from here. That's what you don't know. They're standing behind you in the supermarket. That's what you don't know. Oh, well, I thought they was, well, I'm waking you up.
I'm waking you up. They have that mentality, that same mentality. These are very dangerous times that we're living in. And I thank Allah. You think Captain Shah, Yusuf Shah, you think Captain Ali Rashid, you think they spoke to us nice? Kareem know better. Y'all know better. You think Yusuf Shah was talking with a soft voice? When he said, you talk too much, brother. Be quiet and listen. And you be quiet. You was quiet and listen because you learn. You know that these men loved you. They love this community. I love my community. I'm not telling you that stuff out of just to try to be a boss over you or throw some weight around. I don't have no weight other than what Allah gave me. So until next time, brothers and sisters, we pray that you have a blessed Juma and a safe Juma. Think about these things. Consider. Consult your Quran. I'm not making this up off the top of my head. We want you to have a blessed Juma and a safe Juma and week until next time. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. And thank you so very much, Imam Yusuf Ramadan, and to everyone who's listening now. And for those who want to return this afternoon, 3 p.m. for Care on Air, as they're tending to certain matters as well. And then in the evening, 8 p.m. for Not Just Talk. Not Just Talk with Michael Hameed. That's at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Please plan to return. And then at 10 a.m. this morning, immediately now, you can go over to New Day for Al-Islam. Number is 515-605-9326. That's one of our partners with the Medium Connection with William Kareem and all the wonderful hosts there. And today is with Idea Imam. The name is eluding me right now. William, are you on here? Oh, what's his name? Ibn, anyway, please plan to join us. I'm going over there as well. Again, one of our partners, New Day for Al-Islam, at 515-605-9326. That's from 10 to 1 p.m. Then at 3 p.m., return here for AM 360, Care on Air, and then 8 p.m. for Michael Hameen with Not Just Talk. Thank you, dear listeners. Assalamu alaikum.